Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Back on Lanch J Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Sports Talk, and Entertainment Excellence. I'm actually about to go to one of my favorite websites, and that's the New York Post, newyorkpost.com. So the title of the article, Jemele Hill rants about WNBA salaries after Caitlin Clark's contract reveal. The former ESPN journalist and current contributor to The Atlantic took to X recently in a lengthy post about the situation the WNBA faces and responded to critics who bashed what the league was paying its newest star, Caitlin Clark. Clark will earn $338,000 over 4 years per the league's collective bargaining agreement with the Indiana Fever after the club selected her first in the WNBA draft, which was held in Brooklyn. I'm already annoyed by this conversation because for years, WNBA players have fought for more money. And when they were outspoken, so many of y'all told them to shut up or reminded them how they have no value. The NBA has had 50 plus years of investment, media coverage, etc. After 27 years, the WNBA will not be the current NBA. So stop comparing them, Hill wrote on social media. Hill then went on to point out that WNBA players compete for 4 months and are given free housing and cars as a part of their deals before suggesting that the lower salaries were why so many women's players play overseas to boost and supplement their income. Weaponizing this information against the WNBA players is another form of misogyny. These women have been dreaming of playing professionally in front of American audiences their whole lives, Hill continued. Instead of clowning and reminding them what they're not, buy the merchandise, go to the games, and watch the games on television. Very easy to criticize when most of y'all couldn't get paid to compete at anything. Hill continued to trade barbs with people responding to her post on a social media platform. That's Twitter/X. I'm a person that's really been supportive on this radio show of women's rights, and I feel like I've been an advocate for women, particularly in the workplace. When I talk about my experiences working in corporate America and being an executive in corporate America and interviewing for a CEO job and saying, when they say, hey, what's the first thing you're going to do, Lanch J, if you come in and take over this company? I said, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pay women equally. Because I know that women in healthcare make 72 cents on the dollar, and I will not be the CEO of a company that tolerates that or advocates for such awful practices. So I believe that women should get a fair split. I believe that the WNBA players should get the same split of revenues ultimately that the men's get. I was someone that was supportive when the women's soccer team was elevated financially. I was like, well, the women are better than the men. They go deeper in the tournament. They're going to the Final Four. They're winning championships. The men barely struggled to make the knockout stage in the World Cup. So I'm very supportive of women being paid. And then to top that off, to put my money where my mouth is, I was a season ticket holder to the Phoenix Mercury when I lived in Phoenix. So I've seen Goat Tarazi and Brittany Griner carve people up, chew them up, and spit them out. I've seen that basically courtside. The WNBA is historically a very good entertainment platform in person. But historically, it's been bad on TV. It's not a good TV show. Now, Caitlin Clark, that's a good TV show. Angel Reese, that's a good TV show. So you have people coming in that bring some swag and some drip, and I think it's going to be a better TV show. But I really don't like, and I'm a big Jemele Hill fan. I think Jemele Hill, I don't know her personally. I followed her on ESPN SportsCenter. I think it was SC6 at the time. They were doing some great stuff, kind of combining hip-hop and sports talk and kind of the prelude to what SVP does and to what FS1 does with Undisputed. They were doing that way back in the day. So Jemele Hill's a pioneer. But she just comes off as every time I read anything from her, she's extremely angry. She just seems like a very angry and bitter person. I don't know what's happened in her personal life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if that's just her persona. I don't know if that's what she does to put butts in the seats. But everything from her is racism or misogyny. I don't get a lot of positive energy from Jemele Hill when I follow her. And that's just my thoughts, opinions, not facts. But I'm real tired of this whole discussion of the WNBA. The WNBA has been in business for 27 years. The first 25 years, they operate at a loss. So they upped their revenues last season to $200 million when they were just at $60 million in 2019. So they've had talent come in. They're doing better. They took a hit with COVID. Everyone took a hit with COVID. But they're doing better. They have more stars. The quality of the games are better. Back in the day with Tina Thompson and Rebecca Lobo and Cynthia Cooper and Lisa Leslie and Shamika Holdsclaw, back in the day, there was very limited coverage of the WNBA. You didn't have Instagram. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have the ability for sports to go viral. You didn't have these personalities that had kind of this ubiquitous 24/7 presence. So the WNBA has finally leveraged that. But they've operated in the red for 25 consecutive years. They're just getting to a break-even point. They're just getting into a revenue model where there is actually money. The WNBA has been subsidized by the NBA for decades, which means that if the NBA didn't take the loss on the WNBA, there would be no WNBA at all. And we're in American capitalism. We're talking about people that own these teams. I don't know if you got to be a billionaire to own a WNBA team, but these people that own the teams are multi-millionaires, nine-figure people. This isn't Dr. Buss buying the Lakers and like moving some credit card money around and going to loan sharks to put the down payment on the Lakers in the 70s. You got to be rich to own a WNBA team. And where in American capitalism do filthy, rotten, rich people continue to throw money and pay people more to lose money? You got to put your ego away when it comes to valuation. I'm not insinuating that the ladies of the WNBA work less hard. I'm sure they're up training at 4 a.m, just like the Mamba mentality. They eat well. They train. They take care of their bodies. Many of them are playing overseas in Europe. Brittany Griner being locked up in Russia for a year really highlighted the fact that a superstar like Brittany Griner has to go overseas. But the bottom line on a profit and loss statement, they don't make money historically. You're not entitled to more money. They shouldn't be paid more currently than what they've brought in from a value standpoint, because that's not how business works. And to me, it's actually misogynist. It's actually sexist to give people money and award it to them just because you're trying to stimulate a women's league. I think that they should get the same revenue split. I think the men get 51%. I think women should get 51% of the revenue. If there's revenue, if there's profit. But if there's no profit, I'm not saying they should be happy just to have a league. And I've seen the stories of you don't have charter flights and people sleeping in the airport and all of that stuff. You know, I'm not callous. There's a human element. These ladies are human beings. But the NBA in year 27, going back 27 years into the NBA, the NBA had their finals on tape delay. These guys in the George Mikan era, the Bill Russell era, the Wilt Chamberlain era, the John Havlicek era, a lot of these guys in the NBA were laying drywall during the summer, were working construction, were managing a fast food store. Like, it's 27 years in. You're not going to make big money. This is the time for the WNBA to have an opportunity. You have marketable stars. You have TV contracts. You have social media. Go out, sell out the stadiums, fight for your CBA, and get a revenue split. But you got to have revenue to split profits. If you're not making money, you're not entitled to a bigger salary. It's not sexism because women make less. They make less in this particular case because the WNBA Does it produce profit? And now with Caitlin Clark and all these superstars, Leah Boston, they will produce profit. And I think that Caitlin Clark is like Tiger Woods. I was watching the Masters a couple of weeks ago. I was looking at, I know that the winner of the Masters is clocking like 4 M's now. I was curious to see, what does the 10th place person get? The 10th place person of the Masters gets $500K. So you get $500,000 to finish 10th in the Masters. That's the Tiger Woods effect. I think it's the same with Caitlin Clark. I think in 5, 6, 7 years, people in WNBA, the high-end players will be making 7-figure money. And they will have earned it because they will have broken that barrier in getting people to come to the games and getting people to watch the games and getting people to buy the jerseys and getting people to wear the merch. And I'm excited about that. But the whole concept, this whole concept, this dog whistle, that there's some sexist conspiracy to keep women down. And even and Jemele Hill says, buy the jerseys. Go to the games. That's not how a society works also. You know, this thing is about entertainment. It's not about women's liberation. It's not about Black Lives Matter. It's not about any of those things. And I'm an African-American man. People go to games and get a beer and get some pretzels and some nachos and a burger. And they sit there for 2 hours on a weekend to get away from their 40-hour work week. They're not there to boost women's salaries for the WNBA. That's entertainment. I pay when I come through the door. I pay to park. I pay for the food. I pay for my ticket. And I'm entertained. Then I go to hell home. HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Yo, this is your boy Lance J, a.k.a. the Paragon of Sports Talk Excellence, a.k.a. the Heisenberg of Broadcast Radio, a.k.a. the Wolf of Wall Street. Listen to my show, the Lance J Radio Network, now a part of the Howard University Radio Network, HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141, every Friday at 9 a.m.
I have moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now there's Skyrizi.
Things are getting clearer. Yeah, I feel free.
Clearer with Skyrizi. 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. Of those, nearly 9 out of 10 sustained it through 1 year. And Skyrizi is 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
I see nothing in a different way. And it's my moment, so I just gotta say.
Skyrizi may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or coughs, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine. Ask your dermatologist about Skyrizi.
James Lewis.
I don't worry about the why. You guys out there, y'all worry about the why. Or many of you do. Why doesn't he like me? Why doesn't she like me? Why don't they want me in their club? Why can't I get a seat at the table? Why don't they like the way that I wear my hair, the way that I dress? Why don't they like the car that I drive? Why isn't my education good enough?
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
I don't worry about that, man. I'm out here being me.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Let me hear the DJ Cam in the building, man.
Let me hear the DJs when the crew started. God, I'm horrible with numbers. Don't quote me. But I would say probably in 90, 99, maybe 99, late 98, by DJ Enough. He used to DJ for Biggie. Okay. Anyone that saw the Biggie movie saw Enough. Enough, the guy who started it, along with DJ Threat, RIP DJ Threat, and DJ Camillo. It was technically a New York City based crew, all Spanish. I was actually the first black guy
wow.
to be
so you're like
in
the
crew.
You're like the Jackie Robinson of DJs.
Excellent.
That's what's up.
That's dope. That's I like that. Up. Yeah.
You are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.